Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, and we're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. For the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from Daniel chapter 6. The title of our study was The Servant of the Living God. Chapter 6 records the familiar account of Daniel in the lion's den. We couldn't finish our teaching last week, so we're returning to that text again today. Now, to resume our study, I will read from the text, Daniel chapter 6, verses 11 to 28. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel understood that discovery was inevitable, but he wasn't going to change his practice. Prayer occupied too important of a place in his life. He couldn't just lay it aside. And chapter 9 of Daniel informs us that he had a copy of the scroll of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 21:10 records these words, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word to you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Daniel had confidence in God's promises. This practice of prayer was at least part of the secret to Daniel's impeccable character. Despite the fact that he had a very busy schedule, he paused 3 times each day to pray for Jerusalem and his own needs. Praying 3 times daily is mentioned in Psalm 55 and verses 16 and 17. Daniel wasn't intentionally seeking martyrdom. He was simply continuing a long-established personal discipline. He wasn't going to change his practice to appease his enemies, and they knew that. In fact, they were confident he wouldn't change his practice, not even for the king's edict. So they gathered in a location where they could witness his disobedience. And sure enough, Daniel continued his regular schedule, and his accusers had what they needed. So Daniel's accusers rushed to the king. Have you noticed something? There's quite a bit of rushing around in this chapter. Verses 7, 12, and 16 all contain this idea of things being done in haste. Proverbs 29:20 asks, "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." And Proverbs 19, verse 2 reminds us that whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. These men, as we'll learn later, certainly miss their way. Now, once these men are assembled in the king's presence, they remind him that the law of the Medes and Persians can't be changed. And the king, still unaware of their plot, admits that yes, that's true. The law is unchangeable. Now, I want you to notice the way in which they accused Daniel. They didn't say, "One of your most trusted advisors has violated your decree." Instead, they made the charge against Daniel as a member of the Jewish race, a despised minority. They said, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day." Can you hear the disdain in their words? You know, the servants of God are a despised minority in many places around the world today. And that attitude is growing here in the Western world. You're not allowed to even voice a legitimate criticism of other ethnic and religious minorities or protected classes of people. But then Jews and Christians can be slandered without any serious consequences. But that shouldn't surprise us. Jesus said it would be this way. In John 15:18-20, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours." So now the trap has been sprung, and Darius is extremely upset. He's upset with himself. He realizes he's made a big mistake, and he works from that moment until sundown to try to find a way to avoid the consequences of his decree. He explores every legal loophole, but none can achieve what he wants. So once again, in verse 15, his officials come thronging into his presence, reminding him the law cannot be changed. Reluctantly, the king has Daniel brought and thrown into the den of lions. But in the process of having this done, he makes a most interesting statement. The king says, "Your God, whom you serve, he must deliver you." The implication of Darius' words is this: "I've tried to save you, and I've failed. Now your God must save you." Evidently, Daniel's piety and devotion, coupled with his devotion to his God, had made a deep impression on the king. After Daniel is cast into the den of lions, a stone is laid over the opening, and it's sealed with the king's signet. The decree was fully executed, and now no human being could intervene, not even the king himself. This sealing of the stone reminds me of another stone that was sealed, the stone that covered the door of the garden tomb where Jesus' body was placed after the crucifixion. It was sealed with an official government seal designed to prevent anyone from tampering with it. So the king went to his palace, and he passed a sleepless night. He refused any diversion, food, music, whatever. He didn't want any of it. Most likely, he never before had become so emotionally invested in a capital case. Here was an absolute monarch, accustomed to brutality and the execution of criminals. And yet he couldn't sleep. Perhaps all he could think about was his own stupidity and the innocence of Daniel. What a contrast between him and Nebuchadnezzar, who had no compassion for Daniel's three friends when they were cast into the fiery furnace. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, "The Servant of the Living God." Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, "The Servant of the Living God." I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, "The Servant of the Living God." It's available either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, "The Servant of the Living God." And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.